Well, in 2010, the UN created something called the United Nations Entity for Gender Equality and the Empowerment of Women, commonly referred to as UN Women, its purpose to meet the needs of the world's women and girls. Kristen Hedl is the Director of Strategic Partnerships for UN Women. She'll be the keynote speaker at tonight's annual Mayor's UN Day Dinner hosted by Kansas City Mayor Sly James. Kristen Hedl, welcome to Up to Date. So nice to have you, and thanks for arriving here so quickly since getting off your airplane.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you for having me.
You bet.
And I'm always ready to talk about UN Women, so couldn't be better.
That's great. Well, what are some of the challenges that women around the world face these days that UN Women are trying to counter these days?
Why don't I show you and the listeners, if they can imagine, a very recent example of what women are facing.
Sure.
If we ask the listeners to go to do what we do these days when we need information, we don't go to the encyclopedia. We did that when we were young, right?
Right.
That tells everyone. Yeah, those days are gone, and it tells everyone how old we really are. Today, you Google, huh? And so if you go to the Google search, to Google, and you put in the search words, for example, starting sentences like women cannot, or women shouldn't, or women should, or women need to, it's quite frightening what comes up. Sentences like women should stay at home, women should be in the kitchen, women should not speak in church, women cannot drive, be bishops, be trusted, etc., etc.
This is 2013, Kristen. You're telling me those things are still out there.
This is from an actual Google search, 9 March 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a creative director in one of the branches of the ad agency Ogilvy, I don't know if I pronounced that right, and Mather in Dubai, who saw this, and he was so outraged, and he thought, I have to do something about this. So they created pro bono for us this campaign that's now going viral with women's faces, and on their mouth, these sentences are, you know, they stick these sentences on their mouth, so they're kind of silenced. And then we have our little UN Women reply underneath, and under all of the women shouldn't, women, we said women shouldn't suffer from discrimination anymore. Women should have the right to make their own decisions. Women cannot accept the way things are. Women need to, women need to be seen as equal. So just by describing this latest campaign, it tells you that in this day and age, all over the world, women still face discrimination. They still face injustice. There are still attitudes out there that we need to do something about.
Also, how can UN Women begin to take on the massive task of trying to change those attitudes and changing some of the cultural mores that still exist around the globe today?
Well, luckily, UN Women is not the only one doing that. We lean on the work that is done and has been done for years by women's organizations, by women activists, by men activists. Every gain that we see today, everything we take for granted today in some parts of the world, the gains that women have made, they didn't come by themselves. They were fought for. They were fought for by women. So what UN Women does is to rally behind, stand behind, try to support the actions, the will, the activism that's already there. And thankfully, things are progressing. It's not as if the world is today like it was 100 years ago.
But are there certain practices, certain treatments of women that worry you the most, that maybe are the ones that keep you up at night, Kristen?
Yes, I think, and this is a global issue. It's not something where in our part of the world we can point to developing countries and say, look at them. It's the pandemic of violence against women. It's the most pervasive human rights violation going on a day-to-day basis in homes, in public spaces, all over the world.
Still going on. Are there certain hot spots on the globe that you are most concerned about when it comes to violence against women?
I think where women have the least opportunity to – let me put it this way. When a woman has education, when a woman has the means to have paid employment, when she has choices in her life, she can also walk away. She has an opportunity to walk away. Now, we know that doesn't always happen for several reasons. But in the situations, in the countries where women are deprived of civil rights, of legal rights, of access to land, to credit, to ownership, briefly, in they are deprived of actually making their own decisions for their own lives, mm-hmm. then they're also stuck in situations. And these are the same countries where attitude towards women are of a nature where it's seen as normal, that where violence against women is seen as normal.
When you approach a country, a member country, in which you see a particular impediment to women, we're talking about violence in this case, can you just go into a country and begin to deal with this? Do you need to be invited? How do you make an entree into where you think you need to be?
Well, I can assure, and I know actually in many countries, citizens ask themselves, can the UN just do what it wants? Can it just walk in?
Right.
No, we can't. The UN is not it's not above national sovereignty. So,
despite what some people think.
Despite what some people think, we're not. The UN is not. So UN Women, like all other UN organizations, we work at the invitation of governments. We work with government, but we also work in the countries where we are. We work with the civil society, meaning women's groups and other non-governmental organizations. We work with parliamentarians. We work with private sector. And we work with the government to make change happen. Because in countries where these problems are pervasive, there is also great will among many stakeholders, including government, to do something about them.
Do you approach governments and say, we would like to come in and offer some assistance in the following areas?
Actually, they approach us.
They approach you.
More countries want us to be working with them than we have the capacity to do, because we're voluntarily funded, and so we have to stay within our means, although we try to fundraise as much as we can. So we have to say no to some countries.
We're visiting with Kristen Hedl, who is the Director of Strategic Partnerships for UN Women. You know, I know that the number of offices, outposts for UN Women has grown enormously in recent years. Tell us where you've been. Tell us where you are today in terms of, to give us a sense of your growth and the reach of your organization right now.
Yes. I'll do it quickly. In 2010, UN Women was created. Not from nothing, but
not that long ago. I'm surprised.
It's not that long ago. Yeah. It's just 3 years ago. And it was a result of a recognition among the international community, among the member states of the United Nations, that gender equality is such an urgent issue and it needs to be elevated and more attention has to be paid to it. So while before there were different sections of the UN working on gender equality, all these sections were merged. You can look at it as an industry merger, made into one entity, UN Women, and then we started working. And we were very fortunate to have as our first executive director the former president of Chile, Michelle Bachelet, who came in. She has a long, she's an experienced politician with a long history of fighting for women's rights. And she really lifted our organization to where it is today. And now she's gone back to her country where she is again running for president. But we are very fortunate to have a new executive director, the former vice president of South Africa, Phumzile Mlambo-Ngcuka, who has recently joined us and who is now taking, we think and we hope and we cheer her on, taking the organization to new heights.
You know, sometimes, Kristen, I imagine that when folks hear that the UN is involved and has a program on women, they oftentimes will think about that the focus of this program is on distant places like Africa and Indonesia, you know, places way around the globe from where we are here. I'm imagining that some focus probably is right here in the good old USA. Am I right about that?
Yes, you are. And the focus is on the good old USA and in all countries of the world.
That now, some of these problems you're confronting in Africa are problems you're confronting here at home, too.
For example, as I mentioned, the issue of violence, but also the lack of equal pay. Overall, there is no country today where women get full equal pay with men. Mm-hmm. These differences you find in any country.
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
You said nowhere.
Nowhere. But let me also share with you the opposite. Let's not think that everything is always better here and worse there. I bet you might be surprised, or some of our listeners may be surprised, when I tell you that the country with the highest number and percentage of women lawmakers is Rwanda in Africa. 56%.
That is interesting.
56%. And recently, last year, Senegal had general elections and a record number of 42 or 43% women legislators were voted in. And in both these countries and in Pakistan recently, where more women than ever voted, UN Women has had a slight hand in that because we have supported women candidates. Often women want to run for office. They want to get engaged in politics, but they have less experience. And so we help train candidates. Mm. We help them feel that they can do this. We educate voters. We help register women voters so that they can actually vote.
Yeah.
And this actually yields results. We see results from this. But back to your question, I mentioned Rwanda because it's not automatically so that all development happens in the so-called developed world and not in the developing world. It can be the other way around as well.
Now, Kristen, your speech tonight is titled Progress for Women is Progress for All, Keys to a Sustainable Future. Mm-hmm. You had a variation on this in your UN Association speech in which you said gender equality is not just a right in itself, but it's also central to achieving development in general for everyone. Mm-hmm. So why is it then that when the causes of women are advanced, that the benefits go beyond the women they're intended to help?
It is because, well, many reasons. First of all, I think if you imagine that you drive a car and only two of your four wheels are running, it's going to be pretty hard to run that car, to drive that car.
That's a pretty good analogy.
Yeah, you need all your wheels running. And it's the same for society. You need all your... You need the whole capital of your population, your human capital, to actually be engaged, empowered, to have the possibility to make your country prosper. And so it's logical in one sense, but it's also proven. The countries that fare the best in the world, and not only that fare the best economically, but where there is most stability, most equity, are the countries that have the greatest degree of gender equality.
It's pretty cut and dried, you're saying.
It's pretty cut and dried. And we also know from experience and from research that when a woman is empowered, it's not just her who benefits. When a woman gets a job, it's not just her who benefits. Her children will benefit. Her children, her daughters are more likely to go to school. And so it has an effect on her community and on her society, on her country.
I want to ask you quickly about yourself. You know, your work history includes a founder and CEO of a communications strategies company, director of communication for the Ministry of Labor in your native Norway, as well as serving as anchor for a variety of programs on Norwegian public radio. How does one go from all of that to working for the UN?
Well, yeah, I used to be in your chair, actually.
I was going to say.
And I loved it.
Looking at me enviously here, yeah.
Well, actually, I moved, which is not so unusual. I moved from journalism into communication. And that work led me to the communication department of another UN organization. And from there on, I grew into the position I have today. So It has a logic to it.
Well, what a great cause. Kristen Hedl will speak at the Mayor's UN Day Dinner tonight at 6:30 at the Intercontinental Kansas City Hotel on the Country Club Plaza. You can find more information about all of our broadcasts. Just go to kcur.org. Kristen, so good to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
You bet. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. You can follow me at Steve Kraske. Tomorrow on the program, we'll look at reconstructive surgery for breast cancer survivors, and we'll chat with some children's book authors about the Stinky Cheese Man and a whole lot more. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, and Cody Newell. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.